السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam on Media 1548. And as we said earlier on, we will be having our Q&A program today as usual with Mufti Afzal Hussain Elias, who we have on the line with us right now. And if anybody has any other questions that you would like to ask us tonight on our program, you can phone in. Our lines are open, 854-1548. You can email us on air at radioislam.co.za, or you can SMS us on our mobile number, that's 082-356-5988. That number once more, 082-356-5988. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Muftisab?
Alhamdulillah.
JazakumAllah for joining us. Taking the first question for tonight that we have in front of us here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. Is zakah wajib on platinum, white gold, diamonds, titanium and tanzanite?
You'll have to go slowly through the list, right?
Okay.
As you go the list, I'll mention what it is.
Is zakah wajib on platinum?
No.
White gold?
Yes.
Diamonds?
No.
Titanium?
No.
And tanzanite diamonds?
No. Now, that is if your person has got possession or possession of it, wherever I said no. But if they are dealing in it, meaning they are selling it, they've got it in stock in trade, meaning they are stockists and they are jewelers, then they will have to pay zakat on it. But if they have got, wherever I've stated no, wherever they have got that in possession, personal possession, then they do not have to give zakat. But if they are buyers and sellers of it, and they have got it as part and parcel of their stock in trade, merchandise, then they will obviously be paying zakat on that.
JazakAllah for that, Mufassab. Taking the next question now. Brother says, nowadays women wear thin scarves which are see-through. What is the masla on this?
Many females, unfortunately, have not understood the true concept of hijab. Hijab, alhamdulillah, is an obligation prescribed by Shariat for the safety of the woman's chastity, honor, dignity, position. It is compulsory in nature and it is designed to uplift the status of women, protect them from any harm. Social harm, moral, everything. Now, many females cover their entire body, head to toe, but unfortunately, the marketplaces behave flirtatiously also. I'm not talking about the lady who got a transparent scarf, that I will address just now. I'm talking even of the ladies who from head to toe are covered, but unfortunately behave in a very atrocious manner in the malls, bazaars, etc. Their movement, their body language, their voice, their laughter, all that has to be controlled and brought into the perimeter of proper hijab. Hijab of the voice, hijab of movement, hijab of the hand, hijab of everything. That will produce the correct, valid results. And the hijab should be worn with the purpose that Allah protects me. Now concerning the scarf, transparent, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, stated that there will come a time when females will dress, but they will be naked. And also in one hadith meaning, that wearing of transparent clothing. So wearing of the scarf, transparent scarf, defeats the purpose of the scarf, defeats the purpose of modesty, haya, shyness, and everything. So the person should be educated that the purpose of the scarf is to conceal and not to expose and make apparent. And the person should be explained that the deen of Islam wants us to protect each other and not to expose like what the Western world has turned the female into a mere trivial commodity and merchandise.
JazakumAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Taking the next question now, we have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. During the Jum'ah khutbah, when the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is said or taken, and during the second adhan as well, how must one reply, softly or in the mind?
We'll do as it has come. Let us take on the khutbah. In the khutbah, remember that it is necessary for us to sit silently, quietly, attentively, whether we understand the khutbah, which is supposed to be in Arabic or not, and to maintain silence. And even if we have started salat, to terminate it quickly, so that to sit and listen to the khutbah, that's one. And not to start salat whilst that khutbah is on. Hadith is clear that to say, keep quiet, that is vain talk whilst the khutbah is on. Also, we have got narrations where Sahaba should, by indication, tell others to keep quiet whilst that khutbah is on. That is why the Hanafi say that those two khutbahs are qaim maqam, substitute for the two salats, because it's Zuhr salat, we recite four, Jummah two, and these two khutbahs are the substitutes. However, there are certain who sit in at-tahiyyat position whilst the two khutbahs are on. That is not proven. They also indicate with their finger when the shahada is recited in the two khutbahs. That also is not proven. What is proven? To sit calmly, coolly, in the best position, and to be attentive to the khutbah. When the name of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, then not to recite the durood aloud, audibly or inaudibly, or by lip movement, but to recite the durood in the mind. That's the masala concerning the durood in the khutbah. As far as the second azan is concerned, when the name of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, then durood can be recited. The second khutbah, which is given in front of the khatib, the one who is going to deliver the khutbah, historically, chronologically, that was the first khutbah. And now it has become second khutbah. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala who initiated the first khutbah, which is first azan, which is given nowadays, and left the second khutbah, which was historically speaking the first khutbah, first azan at least, and we should reply to it like a normal azan and recite durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his name is mentioned.
JazakumAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Taking the next question now, just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. If you would like to ask any questions, or you can SMS us 0823356598. Taking the next question that we have now, if one's wudu breaks while making Jum'ah Salah, that he misses both rakats, should one perform a dhuhr thereafter? And also, is the reward same as one has performed his Jum'ah Salah?
Make out when he broke the wuzu. That means he was in the last rakat when he broke the
wuzu. He was in the last rakat of the Jum'ah and he missed the day after, he missed the entire salah.
Now, there are various things that crop up here. One is that the person, he should try his utmost to make wuzu and join the Jum'ah salat again. And if he does so without talking, then he can make bina, meaning that he can join and the rakat that he performed will be counted. Now, he will not be allowed to make tayammum, because tayammum is only allowed for salat janaza and Eid salat, not for Jummah salat. The reason why tayammum is allowed for janaza and for Eid, because both do not have a substitute, a replacement. If a person misses the janaza, he has missed it completely. Therefore, if he is running late, the juro consultants say that he may make tayammum and join the janaza. And also this applies to the Eid. If he is going to make wuzu and fears that the Eid Salat will terminate, he can make tayammum and perform the Eid Salat, because there is no replacement for the Eid or the Salat Janaza. However, that if he misses the Jummah, then he cannot, if he fears he is going to miss the Jummah, he cannot make tayammum and join the Jummah, because there is a replacement Zuhr Salah. In the stated case, the brother, we hope, and we make dua, and it comes in the light of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that actions depend on the intention, and here the person has made every effort to come for Jummah, and unfortunately, wuzu broke as a result. He lost the Jummah Salah. So it is most likely and probable that he will be rewarded for Jummah attendance, and he can subsequently make Zuhur Salah.
Jazakumullah, Mr. Sir. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I want to ask Malana, if one is traveling and you need to bath urine, and after making istinja you find that there's no soap available, is it sufficient enough to just wash your hands 3 times?
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Jim, what's up? The sister says that if you're traveling and you want to perform salah, but before you perform salah you went and made istinja, and you found that after making istinja there was no soap available to wash your hands, can you just wash your hands 3 times for the cleanliness sake?
Now, as long as istinja was made and the person feels adequately sure that they are clean, park, pure, subsequently after istinja to utilize soap, that is a good action. It is not faraz wajib sunnah to utilize soap even in your own home after istinja. Yes, to attain purity well, that is good to utilize, then it is good to utilize the soap. Even in your own homes, that after istinja, proper istinja, that to just wash without using soap or gel or any fluid to hand wash cleaner, it is not necessary. More so now on travel, person is not at home, then just to wash the hands, and that will be also part and parcel of wuzu, will be permissible. For wuzu, soap utilization is not necessary. For ghusl, soap utilization is not a necessity.
Taking the next question now. We have a question on the screen in front of us. You're saying, a lady bumped her car and she damaged another person's car. She's asking, can she pay the other person she bumped off with her interest money?
No, she cannot do so. She cannot do so. She must negotiate the best price and pellet beater quotation available and pay with normal money.
JazakAllah for that. Taking the next question now. When Qunut Nazila is read in Salah, must it be read softly or in the mind? And which Salah can one read it in?
Obviously, Qunut Nazila will be recited by the Imam, and the Imam will obviously read it audibly, and the Imam will recite it in the Jahri Salat, obviously. It was stated you could do it preferably after in the Fajr Salah, but now the Hanafi scholars are also saying that you can do it in all the audible Salats, that means the Maghrib or the Isha or the Fajr, best to do it Fajr time, then after that Isha, and out of dire necessity in the Maghrib.
Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Taking the next question now. We have a question, SMS question, saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. During Hayd and Nifas, what Islamic books can you read? For example, Fadail A'mal, Riyad al-Salihin, Ma'arif al-Quran, etc.
You can read any kitab that the Quranic Arabic is less than the other language. For example, if the Urdu or the non-Arabic Quran, non-Arabic Quran is more than the Quran which is in Arabic, then you can read that kitab. If the English is more, much more than the Quranic Arabic, then you can recite that, you can read that kitab.
Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Taking the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. Can a woman remove her hair between the two eyebrows above the nose?
Why she want to do that? Leave that. Allah Ta'ala has given you that hair, that leave it. There is no room for cutting it. Yes, you may shape it. You may shape it, not cut it.
Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Going on to the next question, just to remind listeners that our lines are still open, 854-1548. If you would like to ask Muftisab any question online, or you can SMS us 082-356-5988, or you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We have a question saying, please let me know whether cousins can get married to each other, and can Muftisab please quote a Quranic verse as I have to settle a dispute.
Cousins definitely can get married. And the laws, there is a book and a small version out has been translated by Darul Uloom Azadwal. It is called Hurmat Musaharat, and whom you can marry, whom you cannot marry, and the relative Quranic ayats with their necessary detailed explanations have been stipulated in that book. And if you look at our translation of Tafsir, illuminating discourses of Quran, then you'll find the relative information there, whom you can marry and whom you cannot marry. That is why we are clearly stating that hijab is necessary between male and female cousins.
Jazakumullah for that. Taking the next question now. A brother says, my wife is deceased recently. How many times can I visit her grave?
Any amount of times is not necessary to stipulate. However, that remember that you can sit at home, sit in the masjid, sit in your workplace and make a dua for her, and you can make Isa alayhi sawab for her, recite some Quran, confer it to her, transfer it to her, you can make charity, give out charity, and then pass the sawab to her. It is not for us that you have to go to the graveyard in order to confer rewards to her, sawab to her. You can do it from any part of the world. However, if you want to visit the graveyard, you may do so. But you should not regard that this is an absolute necessity.
We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to ask Mufti, during the period, can a woman read the kitab My Companion?
It is permissible.
Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah for that, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Jee, Mufti, Jazakumullah for that. Going on to the next question now. Mufti, we know that, that there was a question that was asked earlier by a person, and it's not right now in front of me, but he asked, after Asr, he asked a question that we know after a woman gives birth, then she has her nifas period. And he wanted to know that can he take his wife out anyway within the 40-day period? For example, take her out to eat or somewhere, because he heard that within the 40-day period he cannot take his wife out of the house at all.
Okay, this is one of the misnomers, unfortunately, spreading amongst the women intentionally or unintentionally, but it is based on ignorance, not knowing, and also part of ritual and custom has come into our lives. and also because certain things we have done because of our civilization link and our cultural link up to other nations through the customs and rituals and culture and civilization of other nations we have imbibed into Islamic way of life. Any action, small or big, we should look whether this is a Islamic law, whether this is confining to the Sharia, where this is falls under the ambit and perimeter of the Sharia, or whether we inherited it from other sources, other cultures, other civilizations. And this is one of the actions that we, and especially the Indian Muslim, has inherited from others. 40 days, for example, that the lady, after giving birth, they said, no, 40 days now, she must not even cook, and she must be kept aloof from the entire family, and she must not share the plate with the husband, and she must not even comb her hair properly, and she must not come out of the house, and she must not dress neatly, and she is not allowed to go shopping, or she is not allowed to go to the funeral house, or she is not allowed to go outside to visit relatives who are sick, she is not allowed to go to hospitals. Then whether the nifas blood discharge stops or not, they must wait for 40 days. That is also fallacious, cultural and ritual in nature. First of all, the blood discharge after delivery is called nifas in Arabic. Minimum period, according to the Hanafis, is no stipulation. Meaning it can stop within an hour or two, and once that happens, then the female can take ghusl and continue with normal life. If it's the month of Ramadan fast, salat will be performed and all other activities can be done. Now, the maximum period is 40 days. Now, because the maximum period is 40 days, then people think that no, 40 days is the minimum period. They've turned the maximum period into minimum period. Whereas, if the blood stops after 20, 30 days, then ghusl has to be taken and normal life has to be adhered to. So, the female, in the condition of nifas, can visit, can go outside, can cook, can attend, can sew, can knit, can alter the garments, and can sit with the husband, partake of meals from the same plate. And this other ritual has also cropped up, that after she passes the nifas period, then in some areas, the mother-in-law has to come and give bath and bath the daughter-in-law, and they order special leaves for that action. That ritual and custom also come, and people think this is an Islamic culture. That is a shameful culture, and that is an immodest act. So we should refrain from such misnomers and educate ourselves and enlighten ourselves as per the law of Sharia. The law of Sharia will bring the mercy of Allah.
Jazakumullah. So, taking the next question now, there is a couple who are having problems. They are married, but they are in a separation period. Is the man allowed to talk to the woman, and what is the conditions on the separation period? Can Mufsa please advise or comment on this?
First of all, that we should be very concerned about this. Because unfortunately, these days, the divorce rate amongst Muslims, and I'm sad to say this even over air, has increased. There were days gone by that the name and the word of divorce was not even spoken about. And when any divorce took place, then the whole locality vibrated. And the relatives feared to talk even about divorce. unfortunately, it has become so common that according to one statistic, that 60% of the marriages are breaking down after 3-4 months. And over flimsy excuses and, unfortunately, due to the corrupt educational system in our lives, that we go that route of divorce. So we should worry about that first. Secondly, this is what a good method of trying to patch up by separation, so that the both husband and wife can cool off, there is a cool off period, and those who brought the husband and wife together should make every effort to patch up, to negotiate, to mediate, and bring them together. Separation does not mean divorce. And he is fully entitled to speak to her, because by speaking to her and she is speaking to him, there will be a possibility of reconciliation. So all avenues for reconciliation and of reconciliation should be left open. Now it is the responsibility of those who are the witnesses of the marriage and those who sign the nikah book. They should now mediate, negotiate, so that the couple can come together. And every person should make earnest dua that the marriages that take place, the marriages that are taking place and are in existence, they remain so. Unfortunately, it is a sad and pathetic state of affair that youth marry and within 3-4 months want to divorce. Allah Ta'ala protect us.
JazakAllah Mustafa. Take the next question now. We have a question from a sister saying, my husband is on a very mild form of drug and he is admitted to talking to somebody and he wants me to help him get out of this habit without any family members getting involved. She's asking, how do I get to do this, and please advise me on this. And also she said that she makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this program go on. It's a very, very good program, and Mufti Sahib is doing a wonderful job. And at the end she says she is a concerned wife who is a mother of 4 young boys.
Allah Ta'ala, first of all, reward her for her encouraging words. And we should constantly make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants us to do actions with sincerity and devotion without any motivation. See, first of all, we have to find out whether that the medication, is this drug out of abuse of drugs, number one, or is it medication? Now, if it is a drug taken for medication purposes, then the rulings are different, and the advice is different. And if it is drug out of abuse, then we have got a serious problem on hand. If it even is a mild drug, but on abuse, then she should take her case to the crisis center, take her case to the care line, and let them help and support her mentally, physically, morally, how to cope with the issue. And if it is of medical, then also she should seek counsel. What we can advise, that because of this, he is now talking to others, which definitely, because it has been written, obviously he is not talking savory information or having any discourse which is permissible, having some illegal discourses, which is absolutely haram. Here, he should try to find out who he is walking around with, which company is he keeping, by encouraging him to become 5 times salat, one who's performing 5 times salat in the masjid, by encouraging him to have good environment, by encouraging him to make Quran tilawat at home, by encouraging him to participate in the education of the children, meaning that to listen to the sabak, the lesson of the children as far as madrasa is concerned, then the lessons as far as the circular education, to get him involved in the family life. When he starts doing that, then inshallah he will leave the drugs and you will leave communicating with others. Many a time a person wants to talk to others because those around are not talking.
Jazakum Allah for that, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners that our lines are open, 854-1548. If anybody has any other question that you would like to ask, or you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. Our mobile number for tonight, 0823565988. Going on to the next question now. We have a question since Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. Shias Muslims, and can you make dua for them, especially in the current situation? Please explain.
There are two different questions, two different issues, and two different answers will come along. One is that the ideology and the false beliefs of the Shias and the clergy of the Shia, they understand and comprehend and believe in the false ideologies. Go to my website, alislam.co.za, then there are various books on Shia. Go to a section called Deviated Sects, and you'll find many kitabs on Shias, especially the Sunni standpoint, which was presented to the Chief Justice of Pakistan. Now, the common man generally does not understand the Shia belief structure, the ideology and philosophy, and he does not understand the false belief of the Shias. And the ruling of Kufr will not be given on those people. But definitely those who believe in false, batil, deviated beliefs, which are contrary to the mainstream Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, then obviously when they deny the Zururiyat-e-Deen, the essentials and necessities of Deen and Sharia, they will leave the fold of Islam. That's as far as the Shias are concerned. Now what is happening in Lebanon, we have been informed that not one group is fighting under the banner of Hezbollah. The Christians even are coming under them. The Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat Mujahideen are coming under them. The Shias are there, and they are being attacked. Their land is being usurped under their feet, and their children are being massacred. Their women are being butchered, and on innocent children and civilians, bombs are being thrown. Infrastructure has been utterly destroyed. So in that case, then you can make dua. Allah Ta'ala protect them, save them, and Allah Ta'ala, Allah Jalla Majdahu, gives them the ability to defend their property, their life, and their dignity.
Jazakumullah Mufti for that. Going on to the next question now. A sister is asking, can she go for Hajj with her son-in-law and her daughter?
It is permissible to do so. However, that if the daughter, if the mother-in-law is too young, and if the son-in-law is too young, then it is not advisable. Although permissible, not advisable. And in this case, if they are going, the mother-in-law, the son-in-law, and the daughter, they should definitely be not staying in one room. They should make some arrangements that the mother-in-law should be staying separate, perhaps joined by another mother-in-law, or perhaps joined by her sister, who will definitely have a mahram also. Now, to travel with the mother-in-law is permissible. But if they are both parties are young, then this is the age of fitna and fasad. This is the age of trial and tribulation. Unfortunately, things may go wrong. So, although permissible, not advisable. If a person goes and performs the Hajj in that manner, the Hajj will be valid.
Jazakumullah for that. So, going on to the next question now. Just to remind listeners that our lines are open, 854-1548. A sister is asking about the name Shehnaz. It is said that the name means a dancing girl. Should the name change? And what does Mufti Sahib comment on this?
It is Persian name, I think, and it is permissible to give that name and keep that name.
Jazakumullah for the Mufti Sahib. Going on to the next question now. We have a message saying, I have a music shop from which I receive my livelihood. Can I go for Hajj with that money?
Permissible, makruh.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now. How do you perform Qada Salah of 6 years? And how many rakats do you pray? For example, do you perform all 12 rakats of Dhuhr? And how much fidya do you pay for a must Salah?
Fidya will not be applicable in this case because you are able to perform the Salah as we read in between the lines of the questionnaire. Now, that 6 year Salah is very easy to calculate. You would not be performing the sunnah or nawafil. You will only perform 6 qaza per day. That is Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Witr, Wajib. There is qaza for Faraz, there is qaza for Wajib, there is no qaza for sunnah. So, for one day, you will be performing 6 salah, 6 years times 360 times 2 rakat for Fajr salah. That means you will be making qaza for 6 times 360 for Asr, Maghrib, Isha, everything. Our advice is that first you get your calculator out, times 6 times 360, you'll get a figure. Then take a notebook and write Fajr, Qaza, and start performing all the Fajr, Qaza. Every day, instead of performing the Nafil, the Nawafil, perform your Fajr, Qaza. Every opportunity you get, perform Fajr, Salah, Qaza. In this manner, you'll finish the Fajr, Qaza, and then you can proceed to Zohar, Asr, etc. On the website, alislam.co.za, our website, alislam.co.za, perhaps you may not get through now, they are reconstructing it. We have got a book there under the section of fiqh called Sunnat Salat, Qaza Salat, Nafil Salat. And under Qaza Salat, I have explained all these laws.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I wanted to ask the Mufti Sahib. Hello?
Ji, Appa.
Ji, I wanted to ask the Mufti Sahib. Look, I am divorced, right?
Okay.
And say now my son is ready for marriage. Can I attend the same nikah as my ex-husband? Can I be in the same room or can I be at the same hall or the same function with my ex-husband?
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Abba. Assalamu alaikum. Jim, what's up?
Yeah, I got that. Now, she may be in the same function, she may be in the same hall, and obviously, when I say she can't be there or may be there, when the laws, proper laws of hijab are maintained, when the proper laws of hijab, men are separate and women are separate, when all that and all those laws are maintained strictly, properly, then there is no harm that he is on one side of the hall and her ex-husband on the other side of the hall. No sightseeing and no seeing and no communication. That is permissible.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahib, for that. Taking the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. I have been to a masjid where they caught someone stealing shoes. Almost the whole Jamaat assaulted the certain person. What is Mufti Sahib's comment of the fatwa on this?
Came previously, I have mentioned clearly that unfortunately that the whole congregation is indulging in something that is not correct. One is that person done a completely wrong action by stealing the shoes. Now, by beating him up, what did we achieve? by hitting him and everybody hitting him, what did we achieve? By hitting him so much that, and injuring him, harming him, what did we achieve? I am not saying do not admonish him. I am not saying that teach him, not to teach him a lesson. But this is not justice, that everybody comes out in rage and anger and fury to beat up this person. Unfortunately, the shoe is a commodity. And because of commodity, we are doing such an action. Beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that I wish that I will gather the young and tell them to gather firewood and burn the homes wherein salat is performed, where the males perform salat at home. Because the importance of performing salat with jamaat in the masjid. The mercy of mankind is stating to us as the value of salah. And today we are beating up because we have understood the value of wealth, property, merchandise, shoes. Why don't these people say, why can't we go and encourage others to come for salah and rescue them, and rescue their iman, and rescue their stability in Islam? But we are too good and too quick in doing the wrong thing.
JazakAllah Mufassab. Going on to the next question, just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. If anybody has any other question that you would like to ask, you can SMS us 0823565988 or email us on air@radioislam.co.za. A kitab has a picture of the Kaaba cover on the front and back cover. Can one touch this without wudu?
It is permissible to do so. Is permissible to do so. However, I am not happy with when they have, for example, picture of Kaaba or the picture of the dome, green dome of Madinatul Munawwara, and on top of that they write. I do not like that. This superimposing over the Kaaba and over the green dome of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even over any masjid photograph, does not augur well and does not go well. We should try to refrain from that. However, the answer to the said question, it is permissible to do so.
Taking the next question now, is it permissible to have animal skins displayed on the wall, as well as horns and head which have no eyes but only holes? That means in the eye gap there's no eyes, only the hole of the eye.
It is permissible.
JazakAllah. Going on to the next question now, what is the permissible weight of silver a man can wear?
What is the permissible weight of silver the man can wear?
For example, a ring.
He may wear the silver weight which is less than the nisab.
And on the same question, can men wear any other metal besides silver?
No.
JazakAllah. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jee, brother.
Can I carry on?
Jee.
I would ask the Mufti sahab that, you know, these leather skin jackets.
Jee.
Is it permissible?
Leather skin jackets.
Yes.
Is it permissible to wear?
Yes.
Mufassab?
Anything else you want?
Is that all, brother?
Yes, that's all I want to know.
Okay, alright. You can listen on A.
Thank you.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Jee, Mufassab.
Once the proper tanning has taken place, and once the cleaning procedure has taken place, then that animal skin, the leather, can be utilized for the jackets, provided obviously, naturally, that they does not refer to pig skin. All other skins that provided the proper tanning takes place, then it will be permissible to utilize it by way of wearing of shoes or the jacket itself.
Jazakumullah, Muftisab. Let's go on to the next question now. A person says that, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab, is it permissible for the men to take photos of the graves and then show this to the woman at home?
Why, maybe the person come out. No, that is not permissible. Why? You must do actions which are logical, which are reasonable, which there is some motivation which can earn some reward, and not to create more depression and more anxiety and more emotional upsetting. Now the photograph will be taken. Technically speaking, to take that photograph, there is nothing wrong. But what is the purpose behind it? To show the female, or this is where your father is buried, and this is how his grave looks like. So the female now look at that and weep more. When the Shariat is saying that 3 days, mourning period. And after 3 days, carry on with life. Move on with life. Our deen is natural. Our deen is practical. And our deen understands that we should be positive and we should move forward in life. By bringing the photograph, you are going to create more depression and more traumatic experiences are going to go through the heart and blood and brains of the looker of that photograph. There is no spiritual benefit in it. There is no worldly benefit in it. And there is no comfort in seeing the grave and no benefit by taking the photograph and showing it to others. And this, unfortunately, will lead to first looking at the photograph and weeping and crying and wailing. Then it will, second stage will be to keep it safely and to keep it in a place where you have to see it, occasionally revere it. Third stage, reverence. On a fourth stage, that will be to enlarge it. Fifth stage will be then to put a garden over it. Sixth stage will be to enlarge it to a big size and put a garland and a lamp on it and a light on it. So one thing is going to lead to another. Eventually, it's going to lead to minor shirk. So definitely abstain from this futile, vain, non-beneficial action.
Jazakumullah Muftisab for that. We have one last call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to ask a question. You know, Dargah the Sharif, the shrine.
Gee.
You know, any shrine.
Gee.
Now, why does people keep the shrine?
Okay.
Old and they go berserk on the shrine.
Okay.
I've noticed in Durban, I've noticed quite a few, I've noticed in Cape Town. I've noticed in quite a few karamat in Cape Town, you know.
Gee.
Are you allowed? Is it such a thing that you can kiss and hold and go berserk?
Jazakallah khair, brother.
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Gee, Muftisab.
This is a lengthy discussion and maybe sensitive to many people also. However, with the cool heart and understanding the text and spirit of Sharia, we should realize that to visit the grave of pious personalities is permissible. To pray for them is permissible. To make Isa alayhi sawab for them is permissible. However, that to go there and go around the graves is not permissible. To prostrate to the graves tantamount to shirk, amali, action of shirk. To kiss the grave tantamount to shirk, a khafi, a minor form of shirk. All this we should be abstaining from and we should not be doing. And we should not go and encourage such activities or fund such activities. It is, I have stated, permissible to visit the graves of the pious personalities. But unfortunately, whether it be in Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town, or Lahore, Karachi, or Islamabad, or wherever it be in the world, unfortunately, the activities taking place around the graves of the pious and the righteous, if those pious and righteous hypothetically come out of their graves, will never ever tolerate what is going around them, and they will detest it and reject it and deject it and chase those who are doing such heinous activities which are not proven in the Sharia. We should make every effort to explain that this is Sharia, which is neat, pure, wholesome, free from any form of shirk and kufr and innovation.
JazakAllah, Muftisab, for that. That brings us to the end of our program for today. But before Muftisab goes, some nasiha from your side, Muftisab.
Previously, I commented that the Imam should not utilize the microphone when he's got a small congregation. I would like to reiterate that, and those who are listening, kindly tell your Imams. One place I went, one of the trustees told me that we hear you say this, you said this. I said, definitely I said it, and I stand by it. He said, but Mufti Sahib, we got it via the transmitters that go to the homes. I said, that is good for the azan, so that the people in the home, the ladies, can listen to the azan and then be reminded of the salat. He said, no, that the salat also is being transmitted to the homes. So I asked, do the ladies follow that salat? He said, no. I said, obviously they cannot follow that salat. Then why are you transmitting it then? The imam is for the musallis of that masjid. The qiraat of the imam is not for the ladies in the house, because they are not following it. If they want to listen to qiraat, they can buy and listen to the radio stations. When there is qiraat time and tilawat of Quran time, they can listen to it and follow it and get reward by the listening of it. So this, that by transmitting we are getting the imam to utilize the mic, is not a valid Sharia excuse. Yes, if via that masjid you are transmitting a bayan, a lecture to the ladies, which is the best method? Best method is when the ladies are at home and they are sitting in the comforts of the home and listening to the speech delivered in the masjid. Wherever that can be done, then that should be resorted to, and not take them out to the halls adjacent to the masjid and put them into the halls. Ladies should be at home listening to the bayans via the transmitters. Then the transmitting system is recommended, highly recommended. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding of these.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. That brings us to the end of our Q&A today with Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. Inshallah, until next week, we'll meet Muftisab once more.